Jesus, who came as a baby over 2,000 years ago to an actual place and town in time and space. As we ponder this and we look at what John has to say, the Gospel of John has to say about this, I pray that we would be encouraged. I pray that this, my words that I've prepared this morning could move us in a direction that would continually be in a posture of wanting to learn more about who this Jesus is. Individually, but also corporately as a church. So we thank you for this time. Thank you for each and every heart here, each and every person here. Would you reveal yourself in small ways and also big ways to us. In your name, Jesus, amen. The scripture that we find ourselves in is going to be John 1, verses 14 to 18. Before we get to it, I just want to say that I've entitled this sermon just a simple sermon saying, God is like Jesus. So be thinking about this. God is like, some people may be going, well, isn't God Jesus? God isn't. Just be thinking about right now, God is like Jesus. We're still in the Christmas season. According to the church calendar, we're celebrating this awesome and incredible news that God came near us, humanity, to reveal the truest form of himself. We call this, anyone know what the church calls this? The incarnation, right? One dictionary suggestion that the word incarnation, it means the embodiment of the abstract in extreme form. So the embodiment of the abstract into extreme form. I like that. The Christian understanding of God's incarnation, the birth of Jesus, suggests that the impossibility, that this is an impossibility, that God, who is immeasurable, who is transcendent, who is utterly incomprehensible, was made, expressed in this form, in flesh, incarnate, in real time and in real space. Steve Bell, a Canadian singer-songwriter, says this, "What moves and astonishes me is the wondrous implication that God so profoundly appreciates our limited capacity to know him that he humbly condescends to our limitations so that we might behold and adore the one who beholds and adores us." That caught me as I was prepping this week. That last phrase, that God so profoundly appreciates our limited capacity to know him that he humbly condescends to our limitations so that we might behold and adore the one who beholds and adores us. Jesus is the extreme form of God's love made flesh so that we could have a better understanding of who God is. Through this love, he uniquely reveals God and God's character. He reverses the normal understanding of an excessive top-down powers and redeems all creation from the bottom up. This is what's happening in the incarnation. Christmas is a time of great rejoicing when the God of the universe came near. But I also think it's a time that we can actually ponder and think, much like maybe Mary did. She pondered these things in her heart to think about, what does this mean when the God of the universe reveals himself? And how does that impact my life today in real time and space as it did over 2,000 years ago? So today we're going to look at a portion of John's Christmas story. John chapter 1, verses 14. Reading from the NLT. And I'm going to read it because I'm wearing my glasses now. I am going to read it from, usually we write these things, this is in 15 font, and I'm still using my glasses. I got to go get my eyes checked out. I'm just faking it that all of you in the back aren't fuzzy. So does it look like it looks okay? All right, so, all right, good. So now I'm just, Rob, can hardly see you. But let's read from John chapter 1, starting at verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." I want to spend a little bit of time in that verse 18. He has revealed God to us. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. This is the good news of the Christmas story. That God is revealing to us who he is. He is not only putting together a transaction that is going to happen. He's revealing to us who God is, who himself is. So I just thought it'd be fun. We're going to go through a few of the different translations in this with this verse. So verse 18 in different translations goes like this. We read from the New Living Translation. Here's the New International Version. "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." New International. English Standard Version says, "No one has ever seen God, the only God. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Good news. Remember the good news? I had this when I was just a wee little guy. And I was always able to read it just a little bit easier than my my dad's King James Version. So, yeah. "No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side. He has made him known." And David Bentley Hart has a new translation out a couple of years now. "No one has ever seen God, the one who is uniquely God, who is at the Father's breast. That one has declared him." So what's happening here is that John is saying here that if you want to know what God is like, you look to Jesus. He's setting up the beginning of his gospel with a theological framework that Jesus is in fact God. Always has been and always will be. Here's some audience participation. I know we're getting used to that, to this a little bit. So here, how has Jesus been revealed to you? How have you maybe experienced a revelation of who God is in the person of Jesus? I'll let you sit with that for a minute. How has Jesus been revealed to you? How have you experienced Jesus being revealed to you? If you're new here, that's not a rhetorical question. And we just wait for a little bit of a response and see if anyone would answer that. Nice. That's good. That's why. Well, yeah. It disrupts the flow, but it gets us actually dialoguing a little bit. Maybe you haven't thought of that. Here in Scripture, the disciples are speaking and writing about the way Jesus was revealed to them. And they're writing it down in order to explain and reveal Jesus, who is God, to the rest of, well, maybe they didn't know it then, but to the rest of humanity, right? And so some of us experience Jesus, the revelation of Jesus through Scripture. This is why we are very focused on the Bible. But as I'm thinking about this, I can read about this, but how do I experience, or how is Jesus revealed to me, to us? We might not have the answer. That's okay. I thought I'd ask that, though. Because Jesus here, this scripture is saying that Jesus is revealing who God is to us. And John, again, is setting up this whole, his whole gospel around this. This is John's Christmas story. It's pretty short, succinct, but full of some really good theology. If you look at the first four verses, in going back, now jumping up to the first five verses, says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it." And then he picks it up in verse 14 again, and he says, this word that I'm talking about, this word here is being made known to us, became human, and made his home among us. The flesh became, the Word became flesh. The understanding of who God is became flesh. C.S. Lewis would say it like this: Jesus is what the Father has to say to us. Jesus is what the Father has to say to us. In the Gospels, the words of the Father, words of God, there's only a few that are recorded, and it's at Jesus' baptism, and then there's a time at the Transfiguration. And it's God is saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then there's another time where the writers speak about God speaking to this again at the Transfiguration. This is my Son, where Moses and Elijah are there, and he says, listen to him. So I would agree with C.S. Lewis when he says, Jesus is what the Father has to say to us. Another author says it like this. Brian Zahn says, God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. There has never been a time when God was not like Jesus. We have not always known what God is like, but we do now. Speaking about the incarnation, speaking about the gospel of Jesus. I believe what he's saying here is true to the scripture in John 1. The Word, who is at the beginning of creation, who is with God, who was God. Now the Word has become flesh and made his home a dwelling among us. And now the Word, this Jesus, who is like God and is God, who is now the closest, one translation says that he was close to the bosom of God. He has now revealed God to us. So, I think we're able to say, Jesus is like God. Jesus is God. And that needs to get our attention in so many different ways. The total content of the Father's revelation to us is Jesus. So we follow Jesus. He is our best shot to understanding who God is. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3, it says this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir to all things, and through him, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So I know I'm just hammering a point through and through, is that Jesus is the full manifestation, the full representation of who God is for us to understand best. So this is why, we're going to come to it a little bit, this is why I am super encouraged that 3 years ago this community came up with this phrase, this guiding vision for us, that we are a Jesus-centered community. If the full revelation of who God is manifests itself in the person of Jesus, then we want to be a Jesus-centered community. Meaning, we want to understand and follow and dig into scripture that speaks about who is this Jesus. What does he look like? What did he come to do? What did he come to? What's the good news that he's here to share? We are a Jesus-centered community. We're fully Bible-focused. But we're Jesus-centered in this way. This is why, and we're not going to be able to spend a lot of time on it, at some point, I'd love to do a big series on it, and I would love to encourage you to come to, on the 26th, if you're able to, come to the Table Talk, start of the Table Talk series that's going to start at our church. This is something that's been in my head for over a year now, and it was one of those things I mentioned to a couple other pastors, like, that's a great idea, can we get in? I'm like, yeah, can you help me flesh it out? And so Jericho Ridge, as well as South Langley, said, let's get together. So we're going to get together around tables, and we're going to listen to Michael Zook's going to present for about 40, 45 minutes. And then we're going to have opportunity to wrestle with what he's presenting. It's also an Anabaptist thing, a community hermeneutic. We're wrestling with some of the concepts that he's going to have. And then we'll bring it back and maybe ask him or maybe make some other statements during that time. And then the next one, we're going to have someone from Brian Cooper from the seminary that's going to come and talk about what does it mean to be human? How do we live a fully flourishing life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? So these kind of things need to be more of a dialogue, and I hope we can continue to do this. But this is really the biggest reason why we interpret all the scripture through the lens of Jesus. Because Jesus is the full revelation of who God is. This is what Scripture is saying to us, speaking to us. So now we have to figure out, okay, if Jesus is the full revelation of who God is, what is Jesus, how is Jesus acting? What is he doing? What is he calling his disciples to do? How do we live under the lordship of who Jesus is? Our MB Confession of Faith under Article 2 with the revelation of God says this: we believe that the entire Bible was inspired by God through the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit guides the community of faith in the interpretation of Scripture. The person, teaching, and life of Jesus bring continuity and clarity to both the Old and New Testaments. The Old Testament bears witness to Christ, and Christ is the one whom the New Testament proclaims. And then they have this phrase: we accept the Bible as an infallible word of God and the authoritative guide for faith and practice. And I've talked about this before. The definition of infallible is it's perfect in its purpose in revealing Jesus to us. But it takes the hard work of interpreting through the lens of Jesus, what does this scripture mean for us? And so this is what I appreciate the teaching team, Glenn and Aaron and Paul and Darian and other people. We're going to throw some ad hoc people on here. Sharon was preaching this last month. And who else? Debbie, yeah. Debbie shared her story. And so we believe that it's a variety of voices that we need to be able to hear to be able to actually see with more clarity the full revelation of who God is in the person of Jesus. So I want to invite you to a table talk in that one. I also want to, one of these weeks where a couple of quotes caught me. This is from Graham Goldsworthy, Gospel Center Hermeneutics. He says this: since the scriptures are the result of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the will of the Father through Jesus Christ, and since the word of God who speaks through all scripture became incarnate in Jesus Christ, it is Jesus Christ himself who must constitute the controlling center in all right interpretation of scriptures. And so we wrestle with, what does it look like to be a Jesus-centered community as we interpret the scriptures that God is revealing to us? That's a whole, we need to jot that down, preaching team, to do maybe a teaching series on Christocentric reading of scripture. So if you look at the verses in John again here, the revelation that Jesus is the full revelation of who God is, and he's came to us in this way. If you notice this, does Jesus change who God is? Does the person of Jesus change who God is? No. Jesus reveals God. Jesus doesn't change God. Jesus reveals who God is. And so this is continuing through the life of Jesus, through the Gospels. We have the life of Jesus where he's out, he's healing people, he's revealing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here, it's at hand, it's ready to come. It's wanting to bust in and through. The cross of Jesus reveals who God is. It reveals a God who is revealing himself as a self-sacrificial, enemy-loving God, so that we, as Jesus' followers, are able to say, yes, we want to accept that. We accept the forgiveness of sin that Jesus has given to us on the cross. We are thankful for what God has done. We are thankful for a life that's transformed. But the life that's transformed continues to look like a life of Jesus' love in our lives. And so God is revealing himself to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And this is what we need to pay attention to. God is not changing. Jesus reveals who God is. Jesus doesn't change God. I won't dive too much more into that. But the last thing I want to say to this, if God needed to reveal who he was to humanity fully in the person of Jesus in an actual place and an actual time with actual people that were living during that time, then I believe that now Jesus is actually using his church, which are made up of individuals that are wanting to follow Jesus. Jesus is using his church in an actual place, an actual time, located bodies that are actually revealing who Jesus is. So as we continue to have eyes to see God in our midst, as we have continued to receive this forgiveness that God's given us, we then are to live that out as Jesus did as well. One of the translations we didn't put in here was Eugene Peterson's part where it says, God moved into the neighborhood. And we want to always remember that. Although we're not God, the Bible is pretty clear that the body of Christ is the church who reveals who God is in different ways. And one of the ways that we were able to do that is to be located. It's not just something that is just in our heads, but it's something that we have to walk through and reveal that to other people. How do you think, what does it look like? Does that scare some of us that we're actually, God has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. And now as we accept that revelation, now what? We are to what? Be that revelation to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family members. And that's hard. Everyone had just had Christmas, right? There's probably people at the table that you really didn't want there. And they were family. And yet, God's wanting us to reveal that in a way that is revealing who he is. As we seek to understand who Jesus is, revealed in the scriptures, and through the Holy Spirit, we become more like him, individually and communally as a church. Next week, we're going to hear Shannon's story as she goes through the waters of baptism of how Jesus has revealed himself to her through people, through times of quiet moments of the Spirit of God speaking to her. And we want to celebrate that. Here's another question. It's not rhetorical, though, and we'll see if we get any more bites on this. Maybe it's just too early in the year, or maybe I'm asking the wrong questions. But if Jesus is revealing who God is to us, then what are some things that Jesus has done for you, or stories in the gospel that you go, oh, that is a revelation of who God is. What was Jesus, simple question, what was Jesus doing that was revealing who God was? Let's start with that. Is that simple enough? I think I'm asking the wrong question. Okay, showing compassion. Yes. Pardon? Inviting. Yeah. Right.
Just that connection. God wants to be with you.
Right, right. Almost so invitational. It was invitational, but he kind of said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for lunch." We had that happen to us, and it was amazing. Someone said, "I'm coming for lunch." We're like, "Okay." How good is that? It's amazing, right? What other ways do we see Jesus live and work? Yeah. Yep.
It's really weighted to, like, Jesus is always weighted, feels like he's super weighted to the practical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he teaches how to pray very good times. So he says pray and he practices prayer all the time. Mm-hmm. And he's very rarely teaching on teachings of the church that would have been common within the Jewish tradition.
Right. Right.
Everything that you know it is, it's not that.
Right.
It's actually this person standing here beside this well to get them water.
Yeah.
It's always just back to feed them, love them, doesn't matter who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple times that he teaches on things like prayer and going to perspective, it's interesting because he's so practical, it's all practical.
Mm-hmm. It's, there's a the Gospels are full of the lived life of Jesus. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Right. Sometimes, yeah, and that's where it might defy our expectations in that way. So, if Jesus is revealing who God is, in a few minutes we're going to be able to be reminded of his ultimate display of love for all of humanity. And when I say all of humanity, it's there, but it's also for each, every person individually. We're able to celebrate and receive this, that thank you for defying my expectations. Because if it were up to me, you'd look like this and it really wouldn't include everyone. And yet God is revealing himself to us. So as we take the juice, I want to say wine. One day we're going to have wine. No. The juice and the bread. Be reminded that this is how God is revealing himself to you. Practically. But we also are reminded where Jesus said, when you take this bread and drink this wine, You do it in a way that's going to not just remember, but point to what is to come. And I believe that what is to come, you continue to live in the present of what is to come. Like as Glenn mentioned, where God is revealing himself in Jesus, and now the church and through people are revealing who God is. We will not get it perfect. We will not do it perfectly. In the last month, I've offended I don't know how many people already. But because I'm a Jesus follower, I need to be able to say, I'm sorry. A relationship means more than this. Would you forgive me? And can we move on? Or can we work through it? Or what does it look like? That I'm not wanting to leave the table, but I'm able to sit there and be present, like someone else able to say. So, would you see and know that Jesus is like God? Jesus is God. Jesus is the full revelation of who God is. Jesus actually has the authority, and we wrestle with it to interpret the scriptures of what does it mean for us to live here now. May you receive a new revelation of who Jesus is, because we, a lot of times, will get it wrong. And I think sometimes coming to church is always a reminder then of this grace and this love and this compassion, that God is wanting to be present with us. We didn't do anything to earn it. And then as we leave, we don't do it perfectly, but we try to do it faithfully to live as we have received. I'm going to ask the band and the people serving communion to come on up.